Good morning.
Good morning.
Charcoal fires. Keep that image in front of you, and I'm going to get to that and lead up to that. Charcoal fires. During this season of Easter, we hear a lot of scripture readings about Christ appearing to his followers, Christ appearing to his disciples. And each one has a depth and a richness to it. And today's, I want to really dig in a little bit to this reading. And it's interesting that today Jesus is appearing to disciples who are fishermen. And they seem to all be men in this reading. Because just a preliminary, the guys didn't do such a great job during Holy Week, what we call Holy Week, that time leading up to the crucifixion. And I want to give you a couple examples of that. Do you remember a couple weeks ago on Easter, we read the story of Jesus being raised from the dead from John's Gospel? Do you remember that reading where it was Mary Magdalene who went to the tomb? Do you remember that? Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb. Mary and other women had been at the cross. None of the guys were at the cross, but the women were at the cross. And Mary goes the next day to the tomb, and she finds the tomb is empty. Remember that story? And what she does is she runs to the guys, because they're not with her, and she tells them what she's discovered. And the interesting story is it says that Peter and the other disciple, who we think is John, run to the tomb. What's interesting is the way, if you get into this, may be too much detail, but they get to the tomb, and it says that John, who we think is John, looks in the tomb and sees that it's empty. And he's still waiting for Peter to catch up. Obviously, Peter was not a fast runner. Peter gets to the tomb, looks in, and Peter goes into the tomb. Thus, the Gospels could report that Peter was the first one in the empty tomb, kind of a little detail. And they look around, and Mary Magdalene, she's just emotionally taken with this event. What has happened? What is going on? And it says that the men look in the tomb, see that it's empty, and remember the reading, go back and look at it, and they went home. That's what it says, they went home. Mary stays there, and remember the story, Mary meets the gardener, thinks it's the gardener, and finds out it is the risen Christ before her. So, they went home. And today's reading is kind of almost, you could say, a one possible follow-up to that story. Because they went home, and what do we find the disciples doing today? They're fishing. The story is they're fishing. Back to what they'd always done, and they're out fishing. And the intriguing story is that you would think that when Jesus meets these disciples, he may say something like, "So where were you guys? Where were you? You know, the worst week of my, where were you?" But he doesn't. They're out there fishing all night. They come in the following morning, and it says they caught nothing. They caught nothing. It's a frustrating thing for people who fish. I was at the men's beach week, and people are going out fishing and coming back in saying, "We caught nothing, nothing." It's a frustrating kind of experience. But for these disciples, this was their livelihood. They caught nothing. And they look out, and they see this figure on the beach. They're not that far out from shore, but they see this figure on the beach. They're not sure who it is. They don't know it's Jesus yet. And Jesus calls out to them saying, almost to dig it in, "So you haven't caught anything?" And they say, "No." And he says, this is a great line, "Throw the nets on the other side of the boat." You can almost hear those fishermen saying, "Who are you? You know, stay in your lane, okay? Stay in your lane. We're fishermen. We don't know who you are, but we know what we're doing." But Jesus says, "Throw the net on the other side of the boat." And they do. And the story is they catch a net full of fish. Actually, it's numbered 153 fish, it says. Some scripture scholars suggest that number 153 may represent the understanding at that time that there were 153 nations in the world then that they knew of. And this net symbolizes that sense of this gospel is for all the world. And all the world can't even break them. The net can handle that. The net can hold that. You know, as we go forward today looking to connect and welcome and bring people, the net can handle this number. So they do something different. Do you ever have that experience? You do something the way you know how to do it, and someone suggests doing it differently, and you look at them, and then it leads to another result. You know, we can sometimes get so taken with ourselves. So they go into shore, and when they go to the shore, they find Jesus. And Jesus is sitting at a charcoal fire, and he wants to have breakfast with them. And he calls them in. They bring in some of the fish, probably some of those fish they put on the fire, and they have a meal together. So think about that charcoal fire. I want to go back a while. Go back a couple weeks for us liturgically when we were reading the stories about the passion and death of Jesus. Do you remember that scene when Jesus is arrested? Remember they're with Jesus at a meal the night before, and Jesus is betrayed by Judas, and he's arrested, and the guys begin to disappear. And it's told that there was a charcoal fire. Remember this scene? You may not remember this. There was a charcoal fire outside of Pilate's palace or place of where he would work out of. There's a charcoal fire, and people are gathered around the fire, keeping their hands warm. It was a cold night, it says. Keeping their hands warm. And Peter is there, keeping his hands warm. And one of the people at the fire says to him, "You're one of them." Remember that? "You're one of them." And Peter says, "Oh, no, not me. Not me. I'm not one of them." You know, someone else says, "You knew him." "Oh, I don't know him. You walked with him. I know nothing about him," as he's gathered around the charcoal fire. Remember that scene? I may not have the exact phrases, but it's the great scene where Peter, what, denies Jesus three times. It's at a charcoal fire. Denies Jesus. It's interesting that in this scene today that Jesus gathers these fishermen, and once again, they're around a charcoal fire. And they eat a meal together. They have breakfast together. And Jesus is really reaching out to them. These folks who perhaps had left him, walked away from out of fear, out of confusion, out of whatever. But Jesus comes back into their midst as the resurrected Christ and calls out to Peter at a charcoal fire, "Peter, do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, I love you." He says, "Feed my lambs." He says it again, "Peter, do you love me?" He says, "Feed my sheep." And he says a third time, "Peter, do you love me?" And it's interesting, in our gospel today, it says that Peter got disturbed by this. You know, you could almost say, Jesus could have said, "Well, how do you think I felt when you denied me the third time?" But that's not Jesus. "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And there's different words used in Greek, and some people read more into it than others. There's different suggestions, but they're using the word for philia, which is the word for friendly love, brotherly, sisterly love. Thus, the name of the city, Philadelphia. Philia is a Greek word for love. There's a few other Greek words for love. Another one is agape, which is this self-giving love. And it's interesting that what Jesus asks is, "Do you agape me, Peter?" Just agape love is a self-giving love. And Peter says, "Yes, I philia you." And then Jesus says, "But do you agape?" And he says, "I philia." And then at the end, Jesus says, "Do you philia me?" And some people say you can read too much into that. But what Jesus is basically calling Peter to is this loving relationship. And Peter says he loves Jesus. It's a moment of healing. It's a moment of care. It's a moment of love, and they're healed and sent forth. These followers who were confused, who were fearful, who perhaps walked away at that time, eventually became such incredible people of faith, the men and the women. And we sit here 2,000 years later, because of that early faith, that early going out into the world. And we gather here today, I would suggest, not quite a charcoal fire, but we gather around that fire, that Paschal candle. At the Easter Vigil, Saturday night before Easter, we gathered right out here in the courtyard, and we had a fire. It wasn't made of charcoal, but it was a fire. And we blessed that fire, and we took from that fire and lit that candle. And that candle was carried into this darkened church. And eventually all of us got candles, and the light became brighter and brighter and brighter. So I would suggest to you that we still gather around the charcoal fire as a place of healing, as a place that reminds us perhaps we've walked away from the wonder of what God could be calling us to. Perhaps we are afraid. Perhaps we're confused at times. Perhaps we don't know. We get weak at times. But the fire also, that charcoal fire, also reminds us that it's Jesus who's saying, "But do you love me?" Because what's hidden in that is Jesus is saying, "Because I love you." And calls us to that experience of healing. And so as we gather together today, perhaps in our lives, we have some nets that we can throw on the other side of the boat. Perhaps there's things in our lives that we've become so accustomed to, we can't see any newness. And Jesus says, try the other side of the boat. And we can be open to that. And we may hear that from each other, suggestions from each other. And it's one instance where we can't really say, hey, stay in your lane. But be open to each other, open to the possibilities of what's being seen in us by others and suggested and called forth. And may it be a source of nourishment and strength as we're called to go forth into our world to feed my lambs, feed my sheep, go forth into the world as a healing, loving power that not only transforms our lives gathered here, but can be a transforming presence as we're sent forth into the world.